crafted for speed. Tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. The New Balance Furon V8 refines the ultra-lightweight, precision, strike-focused design for an even greater sense of speed. A new speed control stud is designed to support control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players on the pitch, like Saka himself. Experience engineered minimalism crafted to support explosive movement and the sharpest of touches. Learn more and purchase a Furon at newbalance.com/soccer.
What a goal!
The League of Ireland is back.
Every Friday night it'll be impossible to miss the League of Ireland.
Make sure you listen to the League of Ireland exclusively on Off The Ball.
Become a member now and join in the obsession.
Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
The Yellow iPod on Off The Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off The Ball all season.
You are very welcome to the LOI pod on Off The Ball. Stephen Doyle with you for the very first podcast of the new 2025 season. And what an exciting season we have ahead of us. And I'm delighted to say we've got the three heavyweights in with us this afternoon because it's such a special occasion, the first one, and we want everybody to put their necks on the block with their predictions for the season so we can all laugh at each other when the last podcast happens. So I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by my colleague Nathan Murphy.
How are you, Steve-O?
Hey, Nathan. Vinnie Perth, league winning manager with Dundalk.
Good afternoon.
Doesn't like to talk about it, though.
Never does.
And, as ever, we cannot afford to get him down from Derry, so he's on the line. Gareth McLean. Welcome back, Gareth.
The token northern lad, eh? How are we, man?
Great to see us all, I have to say. Really, really excited about the new season.
Good to see Gareth still has the wallpaper on the ceiling.
Any new books there, Gareth, you're trying to show off with this year, no?
I was hoping for a League One book, but we put that we didn't produce that last year.
I've won in my house, Gareth, don't worry about it.
Tell us about finishing fourth in a three-horse race.
Well, there's plenty more in Derry City to come. But look, the big news from our perspective, from Off The Ball's perspective, is that we are going to be bringing you live radio commentary from 30 League of Ireland games this season. Nathan Murphy, how on earth did you manage to crack this deal with the FAI?
Listen, I think it's the right time for us here on Off The Ball to do this. Obviously, you've been to the forefront over the last few years of, you know, driving our coverage of the league. And I said this on Off The Ball last week that we've gone from a position where not that long ago, there was the football show and then there was League of Ireland was seen as a separate thing. Whereas now I don't think we have a football show where we're not talking about the League of Ireland. I think everyone sort of understands how central the league is to everything that happens in Irish football, to anything that happens with Irish players in England. Like, we're going to get to a stage very soon where, well, maybe not very soon, but certainly over the next 10 or 15 years, where there's not a single Irish player playing in the Premier League who hasn't come through the League of Ireland and academy system unless they're a second generation player. So I think everyone sort of understands the relevance of the league, the importance of it. And then we sort of hitched on the bandwagon at the end of last season. We got a couple of great nights in Talca Park, and you were up in Derry for that league winning moment and Harry Wood's goal and all of that. And yeah, I think it's been sort of welcomed with open arms in here. Everyone's very excited about this and what we can do with it over the course of the season. And yeah, hopefully the listeners are there on a Friday night. If you're at a match, tune in. You can download the Off The Ball app and you'll be able to hear a live commentary every Friday night. And the league's in a very, very good place. And if we get a title race half as good as last season, I think we'll all be pretty happy.
And I think we will. What's our first game?
Shelburne against Derry City. So a repeat, obviously, of the last game of last season. And yeah, Talca Park, home of the champions, was there last Friday night for the President's Cup. I think the atmosphere tomorrow night is going to be just absolutely electric. It's going to be sold out. There's going to be up near 5,000 there. I think there's 1,000 coming down maybe from Derry for this. And yeah, we'll get on to what Shells might do under Damien Duff. But, you know, trying to defend their title ain't no mean feat when you look at some of the contenders that are there.
Can I jump in real quick and ask, almost like a League of Ireland fan, because, like, obviously I'd be a little bit biased in the sense of I'll work for Virgin Media tomorrow on TV, and you've got the radio stuff.
There was only room for one media whore on this show, and yeah, I thought Gareth had that one taken.
He still does. He'll come back. But what drives it, Nathan, in terms of, I know the interest, and people will talk about the Damien Duff effect, But it has to be more than that. Like, what drives like the interest from within here? Because it's so welcomed and almost like, as I said, biased. And I'm nearly patting ourselves on the back because I accept I'm working here. But what I mean by that is so many League of Ireland fans are so grateful for the TV coverage and now the radio coverage. Or, like you said, when you're listening to the football show, the League of Ireland comes up. But where is the interest within here? Because it must be at times a difficult sell. Or must have been.
Look, it's been a very, very difficult sell for many years. This time round, it wasn't as hard a sell. And I've always felt this when it comes to media coverage of any sport. We can try and do our part, but the leagues themselves and the sports themselves have to get their house in order and have to create a product that makes it interesting for the media to cover. And listen, there were long periods where every time we would talk about the League of Ireland, it would be that problem child conversation. And yeah, you know, six times a year, people would dip in around the big games or the big storylines or a change in management or if there was a European run happening. And, you know, generally it was a success story with Dundalk, say, pre-COVID, and that would be the peak of the interest. Whereas now, you know, the increase in people going to games is probably reflected in among our staff members that, again, having yourself in and Garth and Owen Doyle and Keith Tracy, you know, the league just comes up far more naturally in everyday conversation here. And I think when you're out and about as well, and I think now, because again, this is a League of Ireland podcast, so you're probably not listening to this unless you're into the League of Ireland, but Friday night, the radio is a very different thing. You've got tens of thousands of people in their car, some of whom tomorrow night, the only thing they'll know about the League of Ireland is that Damien Duff is managing Shelburne, and our coverage almost needs to reflect that you can't go in day one with the nerdiest deep dive that you possibly can on the radio. You need to make it accessible, you need to make it relevant as to, you know, why this guy from Shelburne is important, what Meepo has done, why we spoke about him for, why he's back, why we should watch him over the course of the year. And I think this year is the first of hopefully what will be several years and many years of covering the league. But I think it's just a part of everyday life, and people want to know about tactics. They look at Shamrock Rovers tonight. You know, when we talk about Shamrock Rovers, it's not about the size of the stadium or, you know, Stephen Bradley. Now people sort of want to know, well, why was Jack Byrne not starting the European Games last year? Who's going to replace Johnny Kenny? A far deeper and easier level of a conversation, I think, just for everybody.
Well, I add to that, though, as well. I do think, just two quick points. I think, I don't want to sound old man here, but there is a certain cool factor with going to League of Ireland matches now. A lot of young people, I keep saying this, that there's so many young people go to League of Ireland matches. You compare it to a Premier League crowd, the average age of a Premier League crowd, you're talking 45, 50 plus. But now at League of Ireland games, you look at, even on a match on the TV, a lot of the faces are young people from mid-teens up to late 20s, early 30s, as well as some of the old codgers like ourselves. But I think that definitely helps the league's popularity, and that will grow and grow. And that also feeds into the social media aspect of it as well, because social media has been massive, I think, in building the league's profile. And I'll just take that opportunity as well to just credit, because we do hammer the FAI, rightly so, for certain things. But I do think Mark Scanlon, the league director, and his colleague Gavin White, who looks after communications, and they also have a lot of team there as well that help them. But they have really, really done a huge amount of work to make the league a success. There's still a lot of work to do. They're not there yet, but they've done great work, and credit to them. And they showed us the statistics a couple of weeks ago. We had a little sit down with Mark and Gavin, and they gave us all the statistics regards to social media. And the FAI's League of Ireland stuff is way ahead of the GAA and the rugby, the whole lot. So I think that's also a certain aspect of it as well.
Yeah, look, I'd give a lot of credit to Mark as well. Sorry, Gareth, didn't that, you know, that's who we dealt with around securing our rights and, you know, his passion, first and foremost, I think, about getting coverage for the league and having that regular drumbeat of, we want every week, we want it to be a part of your everyday football conversation. I think you've seen that with obviously the big decision they made around the TV rights, where I'm sure there was a temptation to try and split it and just try and keep RTE involved and have that rivalry. But actually, for the league and the clubs to stand firm and say, we've said for decades that we want week in, week out coverage, and now someone's offering it to us and we're just going to go and we're going to take it.
So just before Gary jumps in, so the last question is, and it's real sort of blunt, putting it in a blunt way, I would presume there's still a little bit of criticism of League of Ireland with some of your listeners. So is that sell as hard as it used to be, or do you just have to Is there people coming on and your numbers are reflecting a rise in it?
There's no question. I think you look at the numbers of views on social media, which is the main way we can track. Radio figures are far more difficult and more complicated to, you know, we can't identify exactly how many people will listen tomorrow night. It's more of a trend. Mm-hmm. Whereas the figures around, obviously Damien Duff is the standout, but also, you know, when we covered Shamrock Rovers in Europe, the post-match views there are way beyond anything that they were previously. And again, if people don't like the league, there's an element now, I think, of effective begrudgers. While I also think there's an element, and I've believed this for a long time, of what Tim Clancy said last Saturday on Off the Ball, of like the League of Ireland's best audience and the League of Ireland's best way of growing their audience is getting people who like football to come to their games. And this attitude that was there of, well, if you're going to be watching Liverpool on Saturday, there's no place for you on Friday night at our ground. Mm. Like that feels like it's gone out the window. It feels like those people are in the absolute minority and that it's okay to go to Tala or Talca on a Friday night and, you know, maybe even go to Anfield or Old Trafford at the weekend.
Don't be giving him ideas. Bowles will have a Bowles half and half jersey, Liverpool and Bowles.
Look, the other thing on that,
I think you're missing a massive problem. You can sit here and you can pat yourselves in the back, you can pat Virgin in the back, the FAA in the back. At the end of the day, this is a decade of the clubs and the people within the clubs busting their asses to get people to come to the games. I mean, the people that are working relentlessly, either as full-time professionals, volunteers, or part-time, they're the people that engage with the fans, go into the communities, and get them to come to the games. That, fundamentally, is the people that are watching your social media, tuning into the TV. The clubs are responsible for this. The clubs are 70-80% responsible for this. They have been working very hard. And I'm talking about all clubs, First Division clubs, League of Ireland clubs, Premier Division clubs. They're the people that are going out every day and working to get people into the grounds and to get people on social media liking and sharing their content and your content as well. So let's not forget about them.
100%, Gareth, totally agree.
No, and I think just to make the last point, I think there's been a huge amount of heavy lifting done for a long time. You shouldn't mention any journal. There was a lot of, like, particularly, we got a huge amount of coverage back in 10, 15, 20 years ago in the national papers that we probably, in one sense, didn't deserve. You know, the Neil O'Riordan's, the Owen Coles, you can go on the way, Mick Scully, all them lads. There was a whole cohort of them. When you played, you knew. Dan McDonald, to be fair, took it on to another level as well in terms of, you know, but all of these people, all of the clubs, they all made this huge sort of building blocks. But we have to accept, and if anyone gets tick about it, they're off their head. Damien Duff has taken on to a new level. Mm. And his character and the passion he has for it, you have to accept that is absolutely box office, and it's brilliant for the league. It's helped the likes of what Rovers have done in Europe and the title race. But Duffer has dragged us onto a new level, and anyone has any problem with that, You need to cop on to yourself. It's huge what he's done.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we do want fan engagement as well post-match, because we will continue as well with our X/Twitter spaces. LOI Late Night, our colleague Cameron Hill will be hosting that throughout the season. It is a brilliant way for fans to get stuff off their chest, have a chat about the League of Ireland. So do, if you can, sign up to Twitter or to X, whatever you want to call it, and join Cameron every Friday night after the games. That's usually from around 10 o'clock. It's a must listen for League of Ireland fans. So let's crack on, lads. We just said with the preview, let's not kind of labour the points with all of the clubs. Let's just fly through them quick, smart. Myself and Nathan have taken alternate clubs, alphabetical order, okay? So don't anybody getting angry with us over this one. So starting, we'll get quick opinions from Vinny and Gareth on each side. Quick look at the new signings, who's come in, who's gone out, and their kind of feeling for those squads throughout the season. So starting with Bohemians.
What a surprise. Shock.
Shock.
I said
if Achill Island ever enter a team, we'd still be starting with Bohemians.
Bloody hell. Derry City going to do it. Bournemouth, AFC, Derry. No. So, Bohemians. First full season for Alan Reynolds in charge with his assistant manager, Stephen O'Donnell. And couple of interesting signings. Of course, Lys Mousset has taken all the headlines over the last couple of weeks. The striker they brought in, unattached, of course, formerly of Sheffield United. Also into the forward line, Colin Whelan from Derry City and Connor Parsons. Midfield, they brought in Niall Moran from Sligo Rovers. John Mountney comes in from Dundalk in defence. Keane Best and Alex Lacey as well. Best from on loan from Preston. Alex Lacey was unattached, but formerly of Hartlepool. A lot of players gone out there. Akintunde, McDade, McManus, Miller, Mills, Piszczek, the list goes on. Of course, Danny Grant has gone to Shamrock Rovers. So a huge amount of outgoings. They're still a stable enough looking squad, though, as well as the additions. I put it to you, Gareth, that perhaps the Mousset attention has maybe seen Colin Whelan go under the radar there. And with him in that squad, do you think this Bohemians team can maybe, I suppose, fix the problems they had last year in front of goal?
The New Balance Furon V8, crafted for speed, tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. Experience engineered minimalism at its finest and fastest. We updated the Furon V8 for even faster performance on the pitch. Same ultra lightweight, precision strike focused design, now with even greater sense of speed. A new speed control stud supports control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players, like Saka himself. Step up your game in the new Furon V8. Learn more and get yours at newbalance.com/soccer.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I love Whelan. He didn't play much up at Derry, but when he played, he made a real impact. And he was almost that player that was missing then. And obviously, Pat Hooban then came up and did that. But he's quality. I mean, you only have to watch the third last game last year up at Pat's where he played the whole game. It's the first time he started a game in a long, long time, 2.5 years. And he was the man of the match. He hit the crossbar, made a couple of unbelievable chances. But also, I think, I don't want to get Murrahan. I thought his performances last year for Sligo were exceptional. Mousset and Whelan, everybody will talk about them, and we love to talk about players who score goals and change games. But that's the type of player, with Buckley being injured, that's the type of player that Bohs needed last year. And I don't think it was this transfer window that we're going to see the brilliant Bohs. I think the previous transfer window, where they got Rooney, they got Devoy, they signed really, really well. And Lacey coming in defence as well. I'm looking for this. Chemistry-wise and structure-wise and balance-wise is looking as strong a Bohs side as I've seen in a long, long time.
Vinny, I think yourself and Shane Keegan both said last season at different stages that you felt one or two additions to that Bohs squad, you felt they could be league title challengers. And I'm even looking like the likes of John Mountney, who you know well, all his title-winning experience. Do you think those right signings have been made to back up what you and Shane were saying last season?
I'm not sure. I still think defensively, I think there's question marks. The challenge we have is the importance of Cornwall, Buckley, and probably Colin Whelan in them teams. Yeah, John Mountney to that. A lot of injuries there over the past 12 months. Mm. So how do these people fit in? I like Parsons. I think that's a really good sign. And I think in the forward areas, they could be a bit more dynamic. And I think defensively, I'm not sure that the level that will take them to, say, for Bohs, it should be chasing at least a European spot. So they're the question mark. Midfield, we were never in doubt. A really, really strong midfield. Out wide, I really like Rooney. I think Danny Grant's a bit of a loss as well. But look, Parsons, as I said, comes in. We're still a little bit unknown with this team. They need to find a way of playing and come up with a really good way of playing and go from there. So it's a little bit, let's see, with Bohs. I think that's where people be. But you know, there's a lot of positives.
You just hope that the Mousset deal doesn't become one of those hashtag greatest league in the world moments that, you know, 2-3 weeks into this, that it all falls apart and somehow it destabilizes things and undermines Alan Reynolds. I think they've handled it really well so far. They've tried to keep a lid on whatever hype is there. It's been hard to do because all of the highlights clips have been very impressive. Yeah. But, you know, talking to Alan Reynolds during the week, he was saying he's a long way from being able to play a full 90 minutes. But if they feel they can get sort of 15-20 out of them when games are opening up at the end, it feels like a risk worth taking, as you say, for a team desperately in need of goals.
Mm. Cork City next?
Yeah, so Cork, back in the big time, promoted under Tim Clancy, and all eyes really on three players, the front two, with Rory Keating and Seanie Maguire, and then Cathal O'Sullivan, who it feels is almost everybody's tip as the best young player to watch in the league. And one question I have about Cork, Vinny, is last season they were so dominant and Tim Clancy's touch on this, you know, they played against teams all the time. We played a very low block and maybe it wasn't as pretty as the Cork fans would have wanted because it was just so tough to break teams down. It's going to be very different for them this season, both in terms of the type of teams they're playing, but also in their mentality. Like, they've almost, a lot of these players, I don't want to say they've had a year off, but like they've had it fairly comfortable for a long time, and how you switch on to what's going to be needed over the next while might be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, I think they were comfortable. I think the advantage Cork have is almost, and I know like the travel is no longer as difficult as it used to be, but going down to Cork and teams, if they get a point there, it wasn't too bad, you know. So I think the sort of Tourneys Cross would be worth somewhere between sort of 10 and 15 points a year to them. But you're right, winning and winning constantly, and then now all of a sudden having to almost change their shape and go into defensive blocks themselves is not something they're used to. So I think the young defender there, Charlie Lyons, well, he's 24. He looks a real good talent as well. It's a little bit like, I know I used him bowls, but there's a little bit we need to see about this Cork. Some of his signings are really important. If he can come up with a way, whether that's 3-5-2, to have the two up top playing together, that will cause any team problems in Keating and Shawny Maguire. So that's the biggest challenge. You have a good bit of experience there as well. We know that, but it feels like it's... I think if Cork don't finish bottom, that's a positive and that's a building block from simple as that. Finish second from bottom and the fans should be patient with Tim there. I think Tim is the right manager for the right club at the right time. And give him time to build something, because what he is very good at is developing young players. He's proved that, particularly at Drogheda. He's seen some of the players he brought in, I had around Pats, went on to have great sort of couple of seasons for them. So Clancy needs a little bit of time down there and you need to be patient with him. But they are in a very expecting crowd down there. And yeah, they'll want a bit more maybe.
Gareth had a really interesting chat with Shawny Maguire before Christmas, where he was talking about his struggles over in England and got to that horrible stage for a striker where he sort of didn't want the ball to come to him in the penalty area because he just didn't have any confidence in front of goal. But the way he spoke about coming home to Cork, as he said, and the love he feels around there, and the ambition he has to sort of break all the records and to go down as maybe, you know, the club's greatest ever or one of the club's greatest ever, it's really refreshing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a great story to let fans know how important they are when it comes to players performing week in, week out. The players aren't robots. They can't just come in and just continue scoring goals at different levels and at different times in their life. What's going on off the pitch affects them, and how the fans treat them affects them as well. And you always get that warmth. Even Evan McLaughlin was talking about it recently, the warmth that he feels from the support down there. I mean, it's just transformed him as well. And Maguire's going to be huge. I mean, you saw last year whenever they played Derry in the Cup how good they were and how effective they were. Essentially, they were the better team, only for Sam Todd to get a header late on. So they're going to be difficult to beat at home. I think the physicality of the league is completely different to the First Division. The pace, the physicality of it, that's when it's going to be really testing for them. And a good start is imperative. If they can get a couple of early ones, then that'll really... And again, it'll feed into what Shawny was saying, is the confidence of the fans, the confidence of the players, that daunting trips up to Dublin, even up to Derry. That all becomes a wee bit easier once you have a couple of ones under your belt. But support-wise, pitch-wise, the way they play, it's going to be exciting for them.
I wonder, John Caulfield's first game in the season.
Well, of all the teams, and we'll read, obviously, as we always do, so much into night one, but it feels of all the teams, night one is maybe most important to Cork, because not just the John Caulfield factor, but I think Galway are one of the teams they'd be looking at home, we should be taking points off.
Yep.
And it is the best venues in League of Ireland when it's full. Yeah. It is brilliant. It's toxic if you're going there, as in a way, in one sense, but it is brilliant. I think that will be a really special occasion down there.
Just briefly, Vinny, in case anybody hasn't seen him, I spoke to a good City man last night. He was like, "Oh, if we keep Carlo Sullivan for the full season, we'd be doing well." Why is there so much attention on this guy?
I just think he belongs at a level above what he's seen last year. It was almost, to Nathan's point, a little bit too easy for him. I think now we're about to find out. I'm on the fence on him. I think he's a really good player, but is he like one of our top sort of 10 League of Ireland players? We're going to find out. And sometimes you get stars that come out of nowhere and do that, and I think he has all the attributes to do that. But you can't, like, I don't want to scare Cork City players off, but the leap from First Division to Premier Division is so big now. Yeah. It's like it's chalk and cheese.
You're just delaying our next club and what we've all been waiting for, the party political broadcast on behalf of Derry City.
Derry Pravda with Gareth McLean. Well, look, Derry City, a lot of players have moved on. The likes of Colin Whelan, we've mentioned already, Shane McElhenney, Kieran Cole, Daniel Kelly down to Shelburne, of course, Will Patching's gone to Carlisle, Duncan Eden, I was impressed with him last season, Ballymena United on loan. Patrick McElhenney has gone to Ballymena United, but he is going to be in Tiernan Lynch's backroom team. And also, well, looking at the new signings there, Gareth, you've got Arlo Doherty, the backup goalkeeper. Shane Ferguson seems to be a good signing there, Northern Ireland international. Then you've got some clever signings, I think, in midfield. Robbie Benson, Carl Winchester, Gavin White, Dom Thomas, formerly of Queen's Park. I'd say he left Queen's Park after what happened last week against Rangers in the Cup. And then you've got Liam Boyce signed up forward. So what are we going to see from Derry City this season, and how close could they get, or will they win the title?
Yeah, there's been a lot of movement. There's a lot to get through. And I think that that's the key. The upheaval has been massive. I mean, it's been documented. The chairman wanted Rory to stay. Rory thought it was the best time to leave. He's now got the man in that he wanted. He was the number one choice. They went after him aggressively. They got him. He's in. He's putting the structures in place that's needed. And the signings that he has put in place tells me that he understands how much the Derry City fans need a bit of success, and relatively quickly, because let me tell you, looking at all those signings, they're all immediate recruitment. Mm. There's no medium or long-term recruitment in any of that. And there's a big budget there as well. So exciting players. My heart says they're exciting. My head says there's a lot of old players there with injury history as well. The ones for me early on, we saw it last year, man. The importance of a good start in a league that's highly competitive is so important. We saw that last year with Shelburne. So Derry City know that. Tiernan Lynch know that. He has to get off to a good start. So getting off to a good start means you need players that are fit, that have got a good pre-season, but especially Winchester and Thomas, you mentioned there from Queen's Park, they're in season. So these boys should be hitting the ground running. They should be a step ahead of the competition and the players that are already in there. You then look at Boyce. He's been out for a long time, only came back and played 3 games for Hearts. He was out for 2 months before that. A lot of history of injuries. White hasn't played football for a long time. He's not going to be up to speed yet. So there's just so much to discuss. The importance of keeping Marr and O'Reilly cannot be underestimated. Marr especially, we know how difficult it is to find a good goalkeeper. So keeping him and keeping O'Reilly were important.
But Vinny, as a manager, can I just say as well, Vinny, Tiernan Lynch coming in, I know he did so well with Larne. He had a lot of backing there. He could sign some really top quality players, but he's coming into a league now. He's going to be challenging other squads that have some of the best players in the league. I'm not comparing Ange Postecoglou going from Celtic to Spurs, but on a much, much lower level. And the gap is tighter, obviously, between the SSE or Tristy Premier Division and the NFL Premiership.
Yeah, I know Tiernan through different bits and pieces, and we would have shared some information at different stages. What I will say is, in fairness to him, he was part of building Larne from nothing. It wasn't just, he didn't just go and outspend everybody and ended up, ultimately Larne qualified for a group stage, like the first team from Northern Ireland to do it, won the group stages in the conference. So done a really good job there. Look, Gareth has, I suppose, touched on the elephant in the room here is when you look at Derry, one of the reasons Derry never won the league last year is there wasn't enough pace in the team. They were predictable, they were slow. A lot of injuries. You just sound more the same and a little bit slower. So it's hard to see. The thing about Derry is with these, like when you think of Boyce and Thomas and Robbie Benson, when they're really good, Derry could beat anybody in the day. But it doesn't look like a team that's ready for the cut and thrust of a full season in the League of Ireland. That would be my concern. I hope I'm wrong. There's a lot to love about Derry. In terms of, particularly their travelling fans are brilliant, but looks like you'd have to be a little bit concerned about their
and another thing I didn't touch on is centre half. And I know around the league, even Shelburne have struggled to get good centre halves in the door over the off season. They're going into a campaign next on Friday night with Connolly, and I know Can's up training. He hasn't signed yet, but Connolly and Todd as your center half partnership. I mean, you look at the other teams, whether it be Pats, whether it be Rovers, they've got four or five key center halves that could play. Don't get me wrong, Conley and Todd are great players, but again, they've had injury problems. And what happens if they do get injured?
And what's the Holden situation, Garrett? Sorry.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that he wants he's looking away. Obviously, Derry Mullen hurt himself. So Danny Mullen, who's the other striker, he hurt himself in pre-season. He was in a boot. I don't know how bad the ankle ligaments are hurt, but I think that has kind of gone, ooh, we were willing to let you go, but now I'm not too sure if we can afford to. Because Boyce, everybody thinks Boyce is a number nine. He's not. Boyce plays most of his career in the 10. He gets a lot of assists and a lot of goals from that area, but he's not a traditional Gaffney, Hoban number nine.
Like, it's such an important start for Garrett Touch on the side, Steve-O, is that Shells away is a really tough fixture. Yeah, but then they're home to Bowes and Waterford, and it's a chance to get up and running. But it feels like...
Well, that's the key, isn't it? Because they don't play one of the contenders at the Ryan McBride Stadium until May. Mm. And so basically they've everybody else first. They play Bowes, Waterford, Galway, Cork, Drogheda, Sligo, all at home before then in May they've Shells, Pats and Rovers all up in Derry. So like, there's your opportunity. You make this place a fortress. Everyone hates going there at the best of times. So you win all them games, you give yourself a chance.
And point one more time, yeah. Sorry, Gard. With all these players they've signed, Nate, I think they'll be grand in the big games. I think they've got some really good big game players. I wonder, have they got, and I say it again, the cut and trust of week in, week out pace.
Could have done with Garrett. They were thinking of bringing Garrett back, but he was too young.
I was doing my 100 press ups and 100 sit ups for a week there.
Cup winners.
Drogheda United, yeah. I'm wary, having gone to watch the President's Cup final, of reading too much into it, because they were just way off it. It really felt like they were in pre-season mode. At least I hope that's what it was for them, because they just weren't at the pace of the game at all. Now, they managed it very well, in fairness, when they went down to 10 men and sort of took the sting out of it and took their 2-0 beating. The problem for
Drogheda, that started last year as well, of course,
is that where are they going to get the goals with Franz Piero gone and Douglas James Taylor injured? And, depending on who you talk to, there seems to be varying degrees of how serious that is and just how long he's going to be out for and when they're going to be able to get him back. They've obviously gone full time. That's going to take a bit of adapting, I'd imagine, for everybody. And probably with what you said about Cork, as much as I'm sure Kevin Doherty's very ambitious and looking at what they did in the Cup and the way they finished the season and with Europe to look forward to, trying to progress as a club, it feels like with all of that European angle as well, that again, if they finish ninth, probably an okay season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the concern is that the turnover and of personnel there, and they had something about them in terms of what they were like. It was almost the DNA of being part time, of battling away. And while I understand the need to go full time in a full time league, it's a little bit like, I wonder, have you lost something that made you what you are, like that, like sort of togetherness and that sort of band of brothers they probably had, getting into cars together, travelling up the road, grabbing a bit of food. I think this is the club you'll have probably the most concerns about in terms of, because the expectation now has been risen because of what they did in the Cup. So I'd be really concerned for where they're going to end up. I think it could be a difficult season for them. And as Nathan said, if they finish ninth, I think that's good enough at this stage.
Still though, Gareth, there's the Kevin Doherty factor. The man is an incredible coach, an incredible manager. He's also got Darragh Doyle there with him. And, you know, just when you think they're down, a little bit like Ollie Horgan when he's managing Finn Harps, they come right back at you.
The New Balance Furon V8. Crafted for speed. Tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. Experience engineered minimalism at its finest and fastest. We updated the Furon V8 for even faster performance on the pitch. Same ultra-lightweight, precision strike-focused design. Now with even greater sense of speed. A new speed control stud supports control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players, like Saka himself. Step up your game in the new Furon V8. Learn more and get yours at newbalance.com/soccer.
They love it, don't they? It's almost like they want to start like that, manage their expectations and then overachieve. I mean, he does it every year. We talk about it. And the players that he brings through the club always step up and go on to better and better things. I think getting Conor Keeley back is massive. From Pats. I think that's a huge signing. He suits them down to the ground. Big, physical, really good in the ground. And I don't know midfield would have a concern. I can't believe he didn't recruit more players, to be honest with you. With the European effect, to be able to go to players and say, listen, you're going to be playing in Europe here. Come and join me. I'll get you in. I'll get you fit. I'll get you playing and we'll be ready for Europe and we'll hopefully go through a round. That's the biggest concern for me. I thought there would have been more in, and then losing Pirro, a lot of goals. It's as you say, it's concerning for them.
Well, let's move on to Galway United. And one thing I'll tell you about Galway United, it's very hard to find out information about Galway United squad, because John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan are both playing their cards very close to their chest. I'll be on the FAI Connects app. You go through all the pre-season matches. There's like 8 trialists, 7 trialists, 2 trialists. There's just like all the different players are wearing different numbers in different games. It's absolutely bananas. And I haven't been able to work out the full squad with the proper numbers as of yet. What I can tell you about Galway United is they signed Evan Watts on loan from Swansea for goalkeeping cover. They got Sean Kerrigan in from Michigan State Spartans in midfield. Forwards Moses Dyer, Daniel Steins and Max Wilson all coming in from the likes of Vancouver, Newcastle Jets and Preston. A lot of big players moving out. Francelli Lombardo, Carlo Sullivan Jr. has gone out to Turkey. Conor O'Keefe to Dundalk. Jack Brady, Morris Nugent. I'm looking at the Galway squad, Gareth, and it looks a bit thin. Maybe they'll pull a couple of rabbits out of hats over the next while, but definitely in the forward department, I think they're a little bit light. They do, of course, have Greg Cunningham and Jimmy Cohan, both signed in July. I think with a full pre-season under their belts, they'll be a lot better. We'll see more from them. I'd be a little bit concerned about Galway United, to be honest with you, seeing what they've got so far. But I'm also wary. I never write off John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan.
They play some mind games, don't they? I was in the Connect as well. All the trialist names, and it was just the same players from last year. But I actually think, Steve-O, I think they're in a better shape this year. I mean, when they came up, they didn't do much recruitment. I mean, they've always been looking for the striker to complement Stephen Walsh. I mean, they can't depend on him to get a load of goals all the time. The guy Steins is an interesting one. He's played 70 times in the A-League. I mean, the A-League is a serious level. I played out in Australia for 2 years. It's a serious level. You don't play 70 times in that if you're not a good player. So I'm looking forward to him. They're obviously going to be hoping he is the striker that they've been looking for. But it's the consistency of what they do and how good they are and how tight a group that they are that's got them going. And as you say, Cohan and Cunningham, you add that to last year and get that gelled in there. I mean, I think Galway will be fine. I'm not concerned about them. I don't see them. I see them fighting it out fifth, sixth. I don't see them at the bottom half of the table.
You're nodding in agreement, Vinny?
Yeah, 100%. I think, yes, there's been a lot of change, but I think that was change that was just below the level of regular starters as such. So, as you said, Cunningham, Horgan, Bruder, Donlan, they've got a lot of experience now. I think they've got experienced League of Ireland players. I think they'd be comfortable. It shouldn't shock you if between all these contacts another player comes out of the States or some sort of scholarship. But no, I think they'll be comfortable mid-table, as Gareth said, fifth or sixth, and they'll have some good runs. Galway, the type of team that remind me of someone who could be beaten 4-0 2 weeks in a row and then win the next 5 games against Pats and Chels and anybody else that gets in their way. They're that type of team.
Okay, moving on then to Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, so we're recording this 4 o'clock on Thursday, so we'll know a bit more about Shamrock Rovers in a few hours' time. And it feels like we really need to know a little bit more about Shamrock Rovers, because it's been the most peculiar off-season to go into back-to-back games against Chelsea and Mulder and have 4 of your most important players not even unavailable, but gone from the club. And there's a few different things I'm interested to see, Vinny. So obviously they've kept sort of the spine there. The 3 centre backs are still there. Josh Honohan will play as the wing back. Like Gary O'Neill and Dylan Watts were excellent last season. Dylan Watts was the player of the year. They're still there. It feels all of the positions around that right now are up for grabs. And a lot of it will depend on how these new signings set in. A lot of talk, Matt Healy's come back and is in really good space and will definitely take one of those positions. They're obviously missing a striker. The expectation right now is that Michael Noonan's going to start tonight, 16 years of age. against Molde. Rory Gaffney's still a few weeks away from any sort of fitness. So Aaron Green is their only other striker, unless he goes back to Graham Burke. And this is one of the things I wonder. You look at that European run at the end. We didn't see Mandreou. We didn't see Burke. We didn't see Byrne. He went with a different thing. He obviously thought there wasn't enough, maybe enough pace there. It's a hard thing now to go back to them and say, you're my guys.
Yeah, and this
and he kind of has to.
He has to. And this is the interesting thing. I mean, Shamrock Rovers were bang average for 70% of the season last year. Yes, injuries played in a part in it, but the reason their form turned around last year was because of the movement of, like, when you play against Shamrock Rovers for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons, it's been the exact same way. Three centre halves, more or less a box of midfield, two wing backs and one up front. Maybe sometimes you play a Gaffney and somebody else alongside them. That's the way they play. They changed it. Absolutely changed it for that sort of final third of the season. And some of the best performances were as a result of Neil Ferrugia playing close beside Johnny Kenny. Johnny Kenny's movement in behind, his pace, Ferrugia running from deep, and even Dara Bourne's that directness out wide, or on the other side, Honahan. The directness, the pace, the power, and the overwhelm teams. When they play Jack Bourne, Danny Mandrew, Graham Burke, and whoever else plays in that midfield, they're slower, they're easier to defend. Teams are so well coached now, so well drilled. Video analysis of the highest level. If Rovers go in with a box midfield for the start of the season, they're going to struggle to pick up results. There is a big concern about their front line. Aaron Green is still the main man. You're asking a 16-year-old to lead the line from. He will do certain things. Absolutely, he has got a bit of talent. But and he is he's
a man, said Pico Lopez.
I get that. But this is big boy football. I still think Rovers will win the league this year, right? And I'm looking at the squad going, because I thought Bradley learned halfway through the season, got to change things up. He did. But I'm looking at the recruitment and I'm going, ooh, I'm nervous for them. Yes, they've got some of the best players, but Man City got tired last year. All of a sudden, they went to win a league, no one seen it coming. Rovers got tired last year. Nobody seen it coming. Manager changed it. He changed it with the four players I spoke about. Dylan Watts was key to that as well, but he's still there. But Dylan Watts was able to exploit the space because Kenny was pinning people back, running off shoulders. Ferrugia was running. And the more you chase them, creates little holes in front of people. And Dylan Watts exploited it. Rovers are a big concern in terms of the recruitment, absolutely. But everything they have in place makes them favourites for me still. But I'm really concerned for them.
Well, I think one of the teams that will be expected to challenge Rovers, if they are going to be up there, will be St Patrick's Athletic. In fact, I think most people have Pats down as their favourites to win the league. I definitely feel they're going to win the league this season. You think of Stephen Kenny's reputation, the squad that he's assembled there. There wasn't too many incomings, a lot of outgoings from Pats. But if you look, he's brought in Sean Hoare, a lot of league-winning experience there. Simon Power bringing that pace in from Sligo Rovers. Romuald Palmer, as we know, he was there last season but signed on a permanent there. He's got a great little bit of trickery in his bag. Barry Bagley coming in from Fleetwood Town. Then Conor Carty helping to bolster their forward options. Gareth, we know what St. Pat's are like under Stephen Kenny. They've had a full pre-season now. Can you see them winning the league title this season, or can anybody else stop them?
It's going to be tight. They're going to be up there. There's no question. If you finish above Pat's, I think you'll win the league. If you see that squad now and if you look at it, Stephen Kenny is doing what he does at all and has done at all the League of Ireland clubs. He has caused immense internal competition and he's got pace and power. Look at Hoare there and Power. Pace at the back, pace up front, and the competition. You could pick any of those players to play week in, week out next season and they would perform at the highest level. There's no one there will not think that they don't deserve to be in that starting 11. You've got even the centre halves, they've got an unbelievable foundation at the back to be able to go right. No matter who's injured or who's suspended, everybody can just step in there and play. And they've got that all over the pitch. It's amazing. Obviously, Kina, Melia, we all know about now. But actually,
Gareth, just on Melia, because we do know, obviously, he signed for Spurs now. He's gone at the end of the season. Is there a concern there that there's going to be a huge amount of media attention around him for the rest of the season? It's going to be massive. Everybody's going to be watching him. Spurs will be watching him. I'm sure Spurs fans will be watching him. How are they going to cope with that? And how is the player himself going to cope with that? I'm sure Stephen Kenny will be, you know, putting safeguards in there to make sure that he's not affected by it all. But it's surely going to have some impact on the squad.
It won't. And I tell you what, it will not have any impact on Stephen Kenny, whether he picks him or not. Trust me. He will just pick him if he's playing well enough. And he will protect him when he needs protected, and he will play him as well. But if he is not doing his job on the pitch or in the training ground, then he won't play. The deal is done. The money's in the bank. He will just pick him on his training, his aptitude, his application in training. So don't think that Melia now, because he's a million euro player going from Ireland, that he's going to automatically play. Yes, there'll be a lot of attention and people ask him a lot of questions, and he'll be an unbelievable asset. And I don't know the young fella, but watching him playing, I don't think he's going to take his eye off the ball. I think you're going to get the same player that you did last year, only with a wee bit more confidence after the move. And he has to prove himself as well. And I don't think the pressure of that, the price will get to him. He will just go out and play his game. He's got that almost that free spirit, that aggression in his play, and he's very brave. I mean, I saw him scoring the winning penalty up in the Brandywell when he was only 15. He just stepped up and struggled straight into the corner. I have no qualms on him this year.
Benny,
yeah, I think when you look at Zach Abazetti and on the other side Jake Mulroney, you look at that, that's so exciting. It's the best two wingers in the country. Pats is an interesting one. The only thing I'll say is the start of the season, they've drawn a Galway Sligo. Pats win them first three games, watch out. Even though they're very three winnable games, it means the momentum, the way they build, the way the manager will be speaking about stuff. The challenge last year, the back end of the season, they were exceptional. They won all them games, but was freewheeling down the hill, no pressure. If you're drawn with draw at a half time, is there a bit of panic? That's my only little concern about Pats. Is it was easy for them back end of last season. This is different now. Dropping 2 points, say, to a home to Drogheda is a bad result, where last year there wasn't that same pressure on. So that's the challenge. But the squad wise, Barry Bagley, we haven't mentioned, is a really, really tidy footballer. Northern Ireland under 21 international. He's come in from Waterford. Really like him. I think they have to strengthen that midfield, have a couple of different options, but they've options everywhere. Sean Horwood scored between 5 and 10 goals easily, if not more, this season. On that pitch, it's not a small pitch. We get the impression he's a salmon in the air. He'll score a lot of headed goals. Set piece athletic is what they used to be calling under Pat Dolan. watch this space. Sean will score a lot of goals.
Into the West, Nathan.
Yeah, Sligo. I spoke to John Russell last week at the league launch, and listen, he's a very even-tempered guy anyways. Mm. But yeah, I just thought it was an interesting chat in terms of, he spoke a lot about fan-owned club and sort of expectations and what, you know, the league has changed completely. It's so much more difficult for Sligo and Bowes now when you're up against that outside investment. And we've seen that this year where, like, they've lost Ed McGuinty, Simon Power, Niall Moorhead, their captain, Ellis Chapman, who was one of the best midfielders in the league last year. Now, they kept Conor Malley, who, by all accounts, was the most sought-after player in the league over the course of the winter, with Shells were big in from, Shamrock Rovers were in from, so managing to keep him was huge. But I just sort of feel that, you know, you can be realistic about expectations, and, you know, they're when they're good, they're really good. But when they're bad last season, you know, I think that the biggest win and the biggest defeat last season in the league. I just wonder how this season will play out for Russell and sort of the patience of the Sligo Rovers supporters. When is it realistic for them to, what is realistic? Not to contend for the title, to challenge for Europe?
I think what you'd like to see if you're a fan of any club is progression. Like, and if you're not seeing that, then what's the excuse for no progression? Is it because you're not investing? Is it because there's no money? Or is it because the manager's not taking your team or whatever onto the next level? I think there's a bit of all of that potentially could be going on at Sligo, where that will be what people will be asking, well, has John Russell got us any better? I think he's made a lot of people better up there, to be fair to him. But you can't just be toward fourth from bottom all the time and be happy with that as a club. Sligo can win league titles. Absolutely can win league titles.
Really?
To get everything. they're not going to win it this year, absolutely not. But they can get people there. They have a structure in place. They've got a decent academy, young players coming through. It was only 10, 12 years ago they were winning league titles. Mm. Like, and not everyone does it. It's not easy. They can get back to that. They need a bit more belief in themselves.
I think for Sligo, a bit like Bohemians, is that the main aim for at the moment is get the infrastructure sorted first.
Yeah, I get that. Academy, but how long does that go on for?
Well, this is the thing.
And does football suffer as a result?
They need
of
the
it?
Gate receipts, don't they? That's
I think one of the things that, and it goes for Drogheda as well, that, you know, there'll be managerial changes during the season, and I expect that both John Russell and Kevin Doherty will be in demand if one of those top teams start slowly and decide to make a change, because, you know, Sligo play, when they're at their best, play a really, really good brand of football that I think a lot of owners would like.
I think Simon Power is such a big loss to them. Last year, him and Will Fitzgerald's ability to dribble with the ball and Simon Power's pace, the two of them at wide were huge for them. When they were good, they were very good. So that's the biggest concern on Sligo. Gareth is normally down on Sligo, so expect a little bit of...
Because we're short in time,
we'll
move on to Shelburne. Because Shelburne, look, Gareth, I suppose the thing with a team of champions and great champions they were last season, the main thing for the manager and his coaching staff is you got to trim a bit off, add more quality to your side, and to be that bit better for the following season, because you have got the target on your back. Ryan O'Kane, Dan Kelly, Ellis Chapman and Kerr McEnroy come into midfield. Meepo Odebeko up front, an absolutely incredible signing. We saw how good he is in the President's Cup. So their midfield, their forwards look absolutely brilliant. Any concerns at the back for Shelburne? Is that a bit of a weak point for them?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke all whole last year about Barrett and how good he was. I mean, he was immense. I can't believe he didn't get player of the year. But there you are. And he is going to be so important. So God forbid if anything happens to him. But I mean, Derry are having the same problems and another couple of clubs as well. Trying to find centre halves that can run, that are quick, is very, very difficult in the modern era. I don't know what it is, whether they're not producing them, the factories closed
down.
It's
funny how it's flipped, because I think with 18 months, 2 years ago, it was... you couldn't find any strikers, and now this year it's the league is full of brilliant strikers.
Yeah, it's madness. I mean, Derry have been looking now for 4 or 5 years for centre halves, but I think Shelburne, that would be the only concern. But I mean, I say a concern, I'm not worried about Shelburne, and in the same regard, I'm not worried about Galway. The consistency and the standards that are demanded from the manager and the staff, it's going to be no problem. And obviously, Burt's a big loss. I don't think people realise that losing him, he was very effective. Purely because of the way they played. I really liked them, the way they played. That 4-3-3, when they did it, they gave them the platform to just basically roam and go and play almost inside the fullback and attack from there. So it'll be interesting to see how the new players come on. Obviously, Chapman's a big player. He'll need to score goals from midfield. Scoring goals from midfield is another dying trade, and he will be responsible for that.
Absolutely. I do think Shelburne... Yeah, Vinny, you were going to say something there, were you?
Just real quick, the challenge Damien Duff has is he's got... the players he's got in has to improve his team. You can't stand still. And there's two sides to that. That doesn't mean they have to... you have to perceive them as being better than your current squad players. But what you do is you freshen up your squad, and then... two or three people get better in your current squad because of the challenge and the competition. And he's done that, it looks on paper, he's done that very clever. I think a great example of that, going back to my time, my experiences, Dean Jarvis, left back, came into Dundalk, and Cameron Dunman, right back, came into Dundalk. They put pressure on Gannon and Massey. Mm. Gannon and Massey went up another level. And he's got to do that with a squad, and he's got... you can't stand still. You've got to push people. I think he's done that. I think he's done it very well. I think he's also going to change a little bit of shape. What I liked the other day is, okay, Drogheda played with a back three, but Gannon looked as good as he's looked in a long, long time at right back. And McEnroy looks... Mark Coyle on, if you could say this, Mark Coyle on steroids. He looks so much almost better than him. That's all just about, isn't it?
Well, I liked Owen Doyle. Please. I liked Owen Doyle. Was it Owen Doyle who said it was like Thomas Gravesen and Lee Carsley in the middle of midfield on Friday night? Like, there's never been, I don't think, it champions as hard to figure out, in that, you know, you talk about pass and freewheeling, and you sort of look at those big championship games at the end of the season, and you could argue that, like, Shelburne didn't deal with them well. They went in that run of one win in 10 games and sort of fought it out of the fire right at the end with the three wins at the victory at the end to... to take the league. The key thing that stands out for me is you look at last year, they only won three of their games all season by more than a single goal. So no game by more than two goals. So it was all very tight, all very stressful. And if you look, they picked up points in 29 games. So 17 wins, 12 draws. That means in 26 games, a single goal would have changed the result one way or another. And I don't know if it's relevant, but I always remember chatting to Johnny Walters when we were doing a commentary once, and Burnley had their brilliant season the year before and they had a massive dip. And I said, what's changed? Like, what's the big fall off? What's going on? I was like, oh, if you look at our results last year, almost every single game we won was by a single goal. And if you look at all our results this year, every single game we lose is by a like the margins are... Yeah. And I think what Shells have done has been really smart because they need more goals. They've bought really good attackers because they can't be as reliant on winning as many tight games and gaining as many points in tight matches. But you'd have to say signing Adebeko and Chapman, it feels like that should be enough.
But then that is the concern, right? Because, sorry, and this is really interesting and people might like this. Shells generally played with a four, straight, three across midfield and three up front. And you broke the front line. The right side of midfielder went out to the right hand side and he all shifted over. Very disciplined, structured, really, really fit and a sort of designated way of playing. When you bring Chapman in and Meepo in, all of a sudden now you've got people with a little bit of flair and it's harder to coach them in direct straight lines. And it's going to be interesting what they do tactically, because you're right, so much of what Shell's done could have went the other way at different stages. They were the best team over the course of the season, don't get me wrong, but it was like small margins. So very interesting. That's a real interesting one to watch.
I'll tell you where there will be goals down at the RSE, because Pádraig Amond will be playing for Waterford, of course, and who else?
Yeah, well, remember with just a few weeks ago at the end of last season, we thought Waterford, but mathematically Waterford are still in this title race, and look, it was probably never going to happen. And to see what Pádraig Amond has done to come back at 36 and score the amount of goals that he scored and to have the passion and the interest has been brilliant. It was interesting at the launch, it was said to Stephen Kenny, I don't want to say he's the grandfather of the league, but certainly the father of the league, because every single player who was a captain or representing their club seemed to have played for Kenny at some stage. And like Andy Boyle has gone down to Waterford now, so they're obviously adding experience in there as well. I don't know what to fully expect from Waterford, because last season they were so good themselves, and Galway had such a good way of grinding out a result. Like, you talk about the coaching, Vinny, all the time, that's it's so good in the league. Do teams figure them out a little bit this season?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge for Waterford. The advantage is there's a turnover in players in Waterford, and they've got great contacts through the Fleetwood connection, so that's interesting. Pádraig Amond, again, you look at the strength and depth of so many centre forwards in the league, that'd be interesting. Tommy Lonergan going down as well, that'd be interesting if he gets anyway sorted back to his fitness. It's a little bit like Andy Boyle, I think, will be suited to that pitch. Very a good organiser, good talker. He'll be a big signer for them, but it's one of them where I think because of the manager, they'd be a bit like Galway. They'll have some bad nights, but they'll win enough to be probably mid-table and comfortably.
Lads, we are short on time. So look, let's have quick-fire predictions. Your top three, let's not do the relegation stuff. We can talk about that throughout the year. So I'm going to start it off. Top three for the end of the season. St. Patrick's Athletic first, Shell second, Bohemians third. Oh my God, can you believe this, Gareth? Are you sniggering? I can't hear you sniggering over your...
No, I just coughed there, Steve was right.
My God. Okay.
There's no way Bulls will finish the season ahead of Rovers.
Top three, Gareth?
Top three, Pats, Rovers, Shells.
Okay. Vinny, top three?
Rovers, Shells, Pats.
Shells, Pats. Nathan?
Oh, I feel... If Rovers sign a striker, I think they'll win the league. But right now, with that caveat very much included in this prediction, I will
put
go
your feet up there, lads.
Pats, Shells, Rovers.
Pats, Shells, Rovers.
But Rovers will win the league if they sign a striker.
Okay.
Is this two podcasts or just one?
Just the one.
On and on.
Right. Well, listen. Cork City, Galway United. That's the first on the first night on Friday night. St. Patrick's Athletic versus Drogheda. Shelburne versus Derry City at Talcott Park. Nathan will be there with Owen for our first full live commentary on News Talk and Off the Ball. Sligo Rovers take on Waterford at the Showgrounds on Saturday night, and of course the big Dublin Derby then at the Aviva Stadium on Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock kickoff. There are 28,000 tickets, I'm told, sold already. It should be over 30,000 by then, hopefully so. It's going to be massive. It's going to be brilliant. Can't wait to talk about it next week on the LOI pod here on Off the Ball. Thanks for listening.
The LOI pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.